May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1042. I need not blush to own that he, on whom my hope of heaven is built, was crucified on yonder tree, since 'tis his blood that cancels guilt. Hymn 1042.
From Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapters 1 and 2. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapters 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they also wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. The one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels? Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, in that he put all in subjection unto him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. Dear Lord, we approach thee this night, of whom we have read in thy holy word, the God-man, the man Christ Jesus. Our intercessor before his Father's throne, the great healer of the breach and the restorer of the powers to dwell in. The Lord, thou knowest, has been our helper in time past. And oh, we pray, each one in the congregation, the day was to be their helper, their strength, their wisdom. The day was to lead them forth by that right way. They might go to a city of habitation. Dear Lord, thou hast sovereign purposes. Who are we? O gracious God, hath not the potter power over the clay, says thy holy word. And oh, we would acknowledge, we are but clay in thy hands. Thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art potter. We are all the work of thy hands, says thy holy word. But, O gracious God, thou knowest, if thou art to be truly worshipped, and if we are to come before thee in sincerity and truth, You must come as broken-hearted sinners, feelingly deserving thy wrath, waiting for the extension of the scepter of mercy. For we are told, by grace are you saved. Thy love and mercy sweetly combined, by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Lord, as thou dost look upon this congregation here, thou knowest those who have been the recipients of that grace, who have tasted thy love and mercy, and who long to taste it more. Lord, thou knowest those who seek, those who desire, those who long to know thee, the eternal God. Those who come like Nicodemus, desiring, inquiring, their way to Zion. Gracious God, thou dost stoop to such. Thou dost come where they are. Oh, how thankful we are that thou hast walked this earth. We have read in thy word it became him, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, able to enter into the footsteps of his people. Lord, we have read it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. And we pray, Lord, that thou work in this congregation, that there may be a looking up to thee. Oh, there is in thy word, that in thy ministry, that blessed injunction, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. And Lord, we pray the grace may be given to seekers, that they may be kept at mercy's door, seeking to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. O gracious God, go before us. Undertake for us. Support us. Deliver us. Be to us all that thou seest we stand in need of. And grant, gracious God, that strength that we so much need, even the strength of living faith. Oh, grant that blessed gift. One said, faith in the only sacrifice that did for sin atone, to cast our eyes, to fix our hopes on Christ. On Christ alone. Maybe so. Lord, thou dost send into thy church the Holy Spirit, the great teacher of the church, who takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them in the hearts of sinners, who applies thy word with power in the soul, who grants that gracious peace of God which passeth all understanding, enables us to believe in him, whom to know is life eternal. Lord, look down, we pray thee. Enable us to look up. Help us to trust in thee. Move in our lives and work. Oh, may we be enabled to roll every burden upon thee. May we walk in that footsteps of the flock, to be still and know that thou art God. To prove thee, that we are that anchor in the storms of time. Oh, may we know what it is to have that blessed shelter. To know that rock of ages, as dear top lady said, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy ribbon side which flow. We have seen the double cure. Cleanse me from this guilt and power. Lord, look upon the deacons in office in the church here. Support and sustain them in their responsibility. Look upon the members of the church here. We thank thee for the encouragement thou hast granted them. Gracious God, thou hast promised, I will work. Our time is always ready. Thine is yet to come. And Lord, we prove that thou changest not. Thou said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Upon this church, Lord, we pray for it. Let us build it up according to thine own purpose. And oh, come by thy Spirit and anoint thy sent servants as they preach the word in this pulpit, that thy holy word may have free course in the congregation. The work of thy Spirit may be carried on, and there may be a building of thy workmanship, here a little and there a little, line upon line, O gracious God, manifest that work of thy Spirit. And O grant patience that we may wait thy time. We pray for thy sent servants, Lord, as they stand this night to preach thy word. We thank thee for those thou hast lately sent into the ministry. We can see that thou art raising up a following generation. Many of thy servants have long passed the allotted span of life. Lord, we beseech thee, send other labourers into the vineyard. Those whom thou hast eternally ordained to the work. O grant, gracious God, that there may be the work of thy Spirit in these evil days. There may be raised up a generation to serve thee and to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Lord, the work is thine. How thou hast said, how shall they preach, except they be sent? Lord, they need a divine commission, thy servants. They need to carry in their souls a sweet assurance that thou hast sent them. They need to be able to say before thee who searchest all hearts, I am thy servant. And Lord, thou dost use them. They are but human instruments in the purposes of God. But oh, we pray, gracious God, that thy holy word may drop as the rain and distill as the dew upon the mown grass. May have a gracious effect. Hearts of stone may be taken away. Rebellious spirits humbled. Thy dear children brought down in sweet submission to thy holy mind and will. Truly, by thy Spirit, separated from this world that lies in wickedness, going to their own company, even thy dear family, finding a home among them, finding sweet union and communion. Lord, we pray those bring the strangers in. O Lord, thou didst send thy dear servant to the Gentiles, and he was enabled to preach thy word with divine power and a divine guidance. And we read of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken. And she was baptized, and her whole household. And Lord, we see the wonders of it. No different in any generation. Thou changest not. Thy purposes will ripen fast. And we pray, Lord, constantly, the work of thy Spirit. O gracious God, be with thy dear church. Leave us not to hide our light under a bushel. May it be set on a hill. Give us not to be ashamed of thee in this adulterous and sinful generation. May we always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us with fear and trembling. Now, Lord, we pray for those showers of blessing. It's moved here. Oh, we pray those move again. Work by thy Spirit. And here, Lord, move according to thy sovereign grace. For thou hast said regarding thy church, they shall come from the north, and the south, and the east, and the west, will I gather them. Read in thy own day, they came to him from every quarter. Dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldst create in the heart such a need, such a work of thy Spirit, that there may be a fleeing for refuge to the hope set before us in the gospel. We pray thou wouldst send forth thy Holy Spirit into the churches, that there may be those arrows of conviction known in the soul. For sinners can say, and only they, how precious is the Saviour. Lord, how did say when on earth it is the sick who need a physician. And so we pray, by the light of thy Spirit, thou would shine in the heart and reveal to the soul its black condition, that there may be, Lord, in the hearts of young and old, the experience that we read of this morning, the bride of Christ. I am black, she said, but comely, black as the tents of Kedar. And yet, gracious God, she had a comeliness. And even thy precious blood to wash away her sin, and a glorious robe of thy spotless righteousness to clothe her. And it was in that robe that she was comely. A robe of her as a Saviour and Redeemer. The precious robe of righteousness. Lord, we pray, here in this place, sinners may be brought to thee to know thy love and blood in their heart and conscience, and to walk in the sacred experience of the peace of God which passeth all understanding. They did say when thou didst leave thy disciples at the Last Supper, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. O grant, gracious God, that here in the congregation there may be a knowledge by experience of sweet union with thyself, of communion with thee, of thy arms of love and mercy, known and felt, of that precious love which thou didst manifest in thy death. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye, my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And Lord, we pray, thy love may flow freely the hearts of the congregation, and there may be a bringing to thyself into the path of obedience to thy heavenly commandments. For thy commands are not burdensome, they are a delight to walk in, and in them, Lord, thou dost appear, and grant that strength, felt and known in our weakness. Lord, look down, we pray thee, upon the sick and the afflicted, the dying. Lord, remember such. We must all stand before the judgment bar of God. Oh, then, to have an advocate, a friend, an intercessor, one whom we know, who is no stranger to us. Abraham was described in thy word as the friend of God. Oh, may we know thee here below. Then we believe we shall be enabled to sing that glorious anthem, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And Lord, we pray there may be a learning of that glorious anthem in our hearts here below. Lord, build Zion up again, we pray thee. We've lived to witness the great falling away which has taken place in the churches. The gracious God, we pray for the young. They're growing up. The day which work in their hearts. By thy grace. And bring them to know thee. Keep them in the days of their unregeneracy. Manifest thyself to them. Call them by thy grace. Separate them from this world that lieth in wickedness, and be with them in life's journey, and supply their every need. Gracious God, thou seest the exercises, the needs, the prayers that come up from this congregation to thee, especially from the young. And Lord, we pray thee, the fulfillment of that promise in their lives, my God, shall supply all your need out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Dear Lord, we come once again to pray for this heathen land. As a nation, we have turned our back upon thee. Thy holy word, Lord, has been abandoned. The law contained in thy word is abandoned. Thy holy day is desecrated totally in this land. Lord, we pray thee that thou would yet, by thy Spirit, in gracious revival, raise up another generation, taught by thy Spirit, brought to thy word of truth, blessed through it, established in it, having it revealed to their hearts, applied in their souls, that there may be a turning of this godless land to thy holy law. We think the statutes upon our national statute book. And Lord, how many of them are wholly at variance with the scriptures of truth. And Lord, we know that thy judgments are heavily upon this land on account of the abominations that are legalized in our midst. Darkness is over the nation. Hear the prayers of the tiny remnant who love thy word. Come on the work of the Trinity and Bible Society. Oh gracious God, prosper that work. Put it in the hearts of thy dear people to support it. And oh grant, gracious God, thy holy word, its purity and truth, may still be printed in this land and throughout the world. Many translations. And oh grant, gracious God, by thy Spirit, there may be fruit. And dear Lord, we pray for those amongst our young people who have a burden to take thy word to the third world. We pray for the Savannah Trust, the work they're doing in Africa. Pray for our dear friend Ian Sadler and his work in Africa. Lord, raise up others and send them forth, that the truth in its purity may be preached in other lands. Bless the printed word, we pray thee. Oh, look down and grant, gracious God, that there may be a turning of the great tides of darkness. We think of those in persecution in foreign lands. Lord, how bitter is that persecution. Nothing new in every century. Lord, we have witnessed persecution of thy people. We think of that word, they hated him without a cause. And so it was, and so it is with thy one church. But Lord, we pray, thou would strengthen those who suffer persecution, even at this time, throughout the world. Once again, we pray for those in authority over us, the Queen, the Royal Household. Pray for the Prime Minister, his Cabinet, Parliamentary Assembly and Lords and Commons. We pray for the sovereignty of this land. Oh, preserve us. Lord, as a sovereign nation, preserve to us our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution. Thou hast greatly blessed it over the years. Preserved our freedom of worship. Freedom to preach the whole counsel of God. And yet, Lord, we see acts upon our national statute book which would prohibit thy servants from preaching the whole counsel of God and condemning those things which thou dost condemn in thy holy word. But oh, we pray thee, gracious God, look down upon us as a nation. Raise up God-fearing men in high places. Keep us from the great inroads of sin and evil and error that have entered our land. And oh, have mercy upon us. Preserve in our midst that blessed truth, which we read in thy holy word, as the truth is in Jesus. Oh, lead us into it this night, that we may be given an understanding by thy Spirit, that thy word may be applied in our hearts. Touch our lips with a live coal from thy heavenly altar. Grant the anointing of thy Spirit. Fill our earthen vessel once again. And bless the truth in the midst of the congregation this night. We ask all the pardon and forgiveness of every sin. In that worthy name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn number 195. Assist my soul, my heavenly King, thy everlasting love to sing, and joyful spread thy praise abroad, as one through grace that's born of God. Hymn 195.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the psalm we read this morning, Psalm 45, reading from verse 13. Psalm 45, reading from verse 13. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. We would point out the figures which Scripture uses regarding Christ and his church. You read the Song of Solomon this morning. There the figure that is used is the bride of Christ, the bride and the bridegroom. Christ himself used the figure, the bride and the bridegroom. Here, in this psalm, the psalmist uses the figure of the king and his daughter. When the apostle Paul was writing his letter to the church at Corinth, he gave that commandment, come out from among them. The commandment to Christ's church to leave the world, come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. We're speaking here tonight of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are speaking here tonight of his church. In this psalm, this is again referred to in the 9th verse. King's daughters were among thine honourable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. There is Christ and his church is there referred to as the queen. To point out a number of other facts here. Figures of speech that are used here in the scripture. And one is gold. When the wise men came to Jesus' birth in the manger at Bethlehem, they brought a number of things with them. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were gifts ordained of God as figures regarding Christ. They appear here in this psalm. All thy garments shall smell of myrrh, aloes and cassia. We know that we spoke this morning of Nicodemus coming to Calvary's cross. You read in the Gospels, he brought with him 100-pound weight of myrrh and aloes to bury the body of Jesus. When we look at the gifts of the wise men, they brought gold. It was a figure of his Godhead. It was a figure of his work, the work of grace. The apostle, in one of his letters, refers to that. When he speaks of the ministry of God's holy word, and he speaks of wood, hay and stubble, which is all of the flesh, and gold, silver and precious stones, where he uses the figure of that work which is divine. Well, the wise men brought their gifts. Gold. Frankincense. Frankincense was the incense which was used in the high priest's office in the sanctuary. It is a figure of the great office of Christ as the high priest and intercessor of his church. And myrrh, his burial. They were blessed figures. This psalm brings in them all. Very closely aligned to the Song of Solomon. These words relate to Christ. They are prophetic. They are remarkable prophecies. pointing in great detail to Christ. And his dear disciples and the apostles, as they wrote the Gospels and wrote their letters as Paul did, were aware of it. And constantly they said this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. When the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Emmaus preached that remarkable sermon to those men in all their darkness and unbelief, mourning over his death, he there opened to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We're not told in any way what he said, but all we know, it's his effects. Did not our heart, they said, burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? It's on my mind to say just this one thing, and that is this. Bible translations, there are many of them. One that strikes me as peculiarly awful is this new Bible, the New King James Bible. It is supposedly based on the same text as this authorized version, but when you look at the Song of Solomon and these precious Psalms, there's no mention of Christ whatsoever. They do not see Christ in it. Godless men who translate have no love for the scriptures. When you look at the writings of the dear Puritans, oh, how sweetly they saw Christ in these scriptures. They saw him in the Song of Solomon. And God's dear people do see this. They see a blessedness in these figures. The Lord shows it to them. This is a peculiarly sweet psalm. It is divided into two parts. There is the bride speaking of herself, as we spoke this morning, my heart is inditing a good matter. And if you look at verse 10, it changes immediately, halfway through. And it changes to this, the Lord speaking to his daughter, hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear and forget thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And it goes on, the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favour. Then it comes to our text. This is the words of Christ. He is speaking of his church. She's all glorious within. What is her glory? Well, we can be certain of this. Not her own. What is this wrought gold? And as we spoke this morning, she shall be brought to the king in raiment of needlework. These are Christ's own words. They point us to this fact, that rightly taught by God's Spirit, our lost and ruined condition in his eyes, having broken every particle of his holy law, and coming under the condemnation of that law in his sight, called to stand at the judgment bar of God, under the burden and weight of our sins, we shall want a cleansing fountain, something to take away our guilt. Deep mystery, is it not? All have sinned, says the apostle, and come short of the glory of God, being justified, made right, being justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If you were to stand on the right hand of the throne of glory, you must be prepared, and your dress must be acceptable to God. The apostle, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, has some sweet things to say in the opening chapter, one of which is that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And the other one, later in this same chapter, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved. It's only through Christ that we shall ever stand at that right hand of God. His was the only acceptable sacrifice of his Father. It was a divine sacrifice. The incarnate Son of God, as we read in that epistle to the Hebrews, how blessed is the revelation that he, the creator of this universe, the eternal Son of God, should take on him the seed of Abraham, become a Jew, enter the promised land. The scriptures were fulfilled in him. A virgin shall conceive, said Isaiah, and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This appears in the opening chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Oh, the glory of salvation, that the Creator of this universe, in love, should come here willingly and take upon himself a human body and a human soul and offer them both. As Bunyan says, he offered himself body for body and soul for soul for his dear church. When he died on Calvary's cross, in that perfect, acceptable sacrifice for sin, his body and soul were separated. But God did not die at Calvary. No, it was body and soul that were separated. And he said so blessedly, no man taketh my life from me. We die because of sin. The wages of sin is death. He laid down his life that he might take it again. But he laid it down in love. And he walked this earth from the manger to the cross. He walked it in perfect holiness. Scripture speaks of him so blessedly. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He walked it in perfection. But he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. When he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness, there was a reality in that temptation. And you will notice how he answered Satan. It is written. Oh, how that silent Satan. But the Lord Jesus Christ walked that way. And he entered into the suffering sorrows of his dear church. Into their sorrows. The sorrows over sin. Into their mourning. He did not sorrow himself because of sin. He sorrowed as one bearing the burden of sin for his dear church. Oh, those deep sorrows. He was a man of sorrows, says the prophet Isaiah, and acquainted with grief. We hear, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and rejected of men. But he was wounded, oh, says the prophet, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace, that's the punishment which produced our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. Here lies the glorious robe, the king's daughter, all glorious within. It is those sacred benefits which Christ wrought out for her, applied to her heart and soul. It is that precious blood sprinkled upon heart and conscience. It is the forgiveness of sin. You enter into that spot and place. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hymn writer says, united to Jesus the vine, I have life, health, and righteousness too. And this he will teach me in time. Without him, I nothing can do. Now, where do you stand? Where do you stand before his majesty and holiness tonight? It is when these precious truths are revealed in our hearts by the Spirit, we're brought down solemnly before a holy God in guilt and condemnation to feel our need of his love, his blood, his righteousness. And when we know it applied in our hearts with divine power, that we can have a hope that we're among the King's daughter, one of his dear children, wrought upon by his Spirit. And you see, there will be wrestling prayer for these blessings. It is the Holy Spirit's work to convict, to convince of sin, to teach and to show the Lord's dear people what they need, and to give it to them and apply it to them in their hearts. Ask yourself this evening, search your heart. Where do you stand in God's sight? Have you a hope that you're one of the children of the Heavenly King? That he's begun a work in you? He's changed your heart. That you can truly say here tonight before God in the simplicity of it, I'm not what I once was. I'm not what I once was. Has the wind blown? Has there been a change? You may not have received what you want to receive. You may be waiting for the Lord to appear and draw near to you. The truth remains here in the scripture that the Lord's people, as taught by his Spirit, in his sight and in his eyes as he speaks here in this prophecy, are all glorious with him. Like the bride of Christ in the Song of Solomon, they confess that they're black as the tents of Kedah, feeling as they go on in life not to get any better, but in fact to get worse. The work of grace in the hearts of God's dear children does not make saints of his people in this earth. They do not reach any perfection. The work of grace in the hearts of God's dear people is that the more he is revealed to them, the more they feel the filth and vileness of their own hearts. And they will truly confess to the bride of Christ, I'm black. And yet, that strange enigma, but calmly, black as the tents of Kedah, blessed mercy is the Lord who has prepared you. When Christ was here on earth, he said so simply, the sick need a physician. They that are not sick have no need of a physician. Where do you stand? May God in mercy to you, give you a desire, a felt need for this robe of Christ's righteousness, this atoning love and blood, that you may know what it is to be clothed, prepared. That is how the Lord's dear servant, the Apostle Paul, came to the end of his days. In his last letter to Timothy, he said, I am now ready to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. This is how his dear church come to a dying bed in utter peace. I've been a witness of it. Blessed, sacred peace, resting in him who has conquered death and put sin away. There is an entrance into the sweet experience of the truth. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now it is to see with divine perception the need, your need of this glorious robe, my need of it. Here lies the evidence that we're his dear children. Here lies the evidence that he has loved us with an everlasting love. If we commune with him and have sweet union and communion with him, if we know something of his love and his blood in our hearts, and know something of that peace of God which passeth all understanding, the King's daughter is all glorious within. The raiment is of wrought gold. It is divine. It is the work of the dear Son of God. She shall be brought unto the King. You know that will be to be with him where he is. He takes his dear people from time into eternity to worship him before his throne. In this world they have sweet foretaste of it. Hymn writer says, the streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. I do say to you here tonight, have you tasted the streams on earth? Where do you stand in God's sight? Have you known anything of this precious blood and righteousness? Can you say within your heart, I'm clean, just God, I'm clean? There are sweet moments in life's pathway, in the pathway of God's dear church, when they know the application to their guilty, filthy heart and conscience of that precious blood. And when they know all guilt taken away, when they look for their sins and their condemnation is gone, and they know the peace of God which passes all understanding. Hymn writer says, sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spent. Say to you tonight, do you understand it? Any understanding of what I'm speaking about? Where are you? Either in the secret or out of it. You either have a hope or no hope. It is the work of God, but it is the only way through this pathway we read of this morning. Beautiful word in the Song of Solomon. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. It has ever been the case in all generations, that there has been a sweet experience of these truths in the heart. It is nothing new. It is the ordained work of God in the salvation of his dear church. We see this in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, how in that beautiful allegory he shows the pilgrim, clothed in filthy rags, bearing the burden of his sins upon his back, leaving the city of destruction behind him, setting out on his pathway to the cross at Calvary, leaving his wife and children behind him, going alone, misunderstood, many temptations in the way, the slough of despond to pass through, but eventually reaching the cross of Calvary, guided by Evangelist, his great companion, taught by the Spirit, and coming there. Worldly wise man, who met him on the way, said to him regarding his burden, "You want to get rid of that, his burden of sin." And his response was, "It's bound on in such a way I cannot get rid of it." What a beautiful allegory it is. But when he came to Calvary's cross, and looked upon his Saviour dying for him, then it fell from his back. And in that hour, he heard those words, "Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven me." Then in that hour, he received that blessed robe of righteousness. He clothed him in a change of garment. And then in that hour, he was given the sealing of the Spirit, that scroll as Bunyan speaks of it, that hope which he took with him, his knowledge of Christ. His sins were pardoned and put away in God's eyes. Why? Because Christ had died in his place on Calvary's cross in that remarkable sacrifice for sins, one sacrifice for sins forever. The Son of God, and as Peter says of him, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And Peter could speak, as he did, of the precious blood of Christ. He knew the value of it. It had washed his conscience from his fearful sins. And he knew this truth here in his soul's experience. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Nothing of her own. All has been done for her. The things which she had made, touching the king in sweet experience. There lay her hope of glory in the death of Christ. And to have a sweet hope, all this was done for you. I would point out to you tonight how vital this is. We're but creatures of time. And there lies before every one of us eternity. And if the Spirit has taught you anything, it will have taught you this, that you need that which is divine to come before a holy God. You need your guilt and filth and condemnation removed, and only a divine sacrifice can do it. When Christ washed his disciples' feet, blessed saying, "Oh, they," Peter said, "thou shalt never wash my feet." It was a task for a servant to do. when travellers entered a house. This was the treatment for guests, to wash their dusty feet from their journey. Christ did it as a figure. He humbled himself. And when the Lord said to him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me," then he said, "Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus then said to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, and is clean every whit." Then he said this, "Ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." Oh, the sweetness of it. To hear in our hearts, spoken by God, the Holy Spirit, with divine power, that sweet word, "Ye are clean," will produce in our souls a glorious peace and a blessed hope of heaven. For there is to be known by the Church of Christ here in this earth the peace of God which passes all understanding. This statement by Christ himself here, "Hearken," he says, "Listen. This is the way, walk in it. The footsteps of the flock. The divine preparation to stand before the throne of God in that great day. It is to walk out the footsteps of this blessed truth here. If we are to be the King's daughter, we must be all glorious within, and our raiment must be of wrought gold. Then we shall be brought to the King. Then raiment of needlework. The imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That holy obedience as he walked this earth to his Father's holy mind and will. He kept the law in every particle of it, in thought, word and deed, and in that raiment of needlework which he wrought out. His dear church, today, the loved ones whom we've known now stand at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you want it? Has the Lord shown you your need? Has he brought you to feel yourself to be a great sinner? The hymn writer says, "Sins against a holy God. Sins against his love, his blood. Sins immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane." You may have in your heart many questions, but oh, the only way to know an answer to those questions is to go to Jesus and to ask him to make you as a little child, to listen, to seek his teaching, to read his word prayerfully, to ask him to reveal it to you, show you the beauty and blessedness of it, and grant you a part and a lot in his divine work on Calvary's cross, when he said, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And this was the work. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God, says the Apostle Paul, commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. And he of all knew how bitterly he'd hated Christ and despised his followers and was on his way to Damascus to kill them and to hail men and women to prison. how he'd stood by the death of Stephen and consented. But now, he was to know the voice of Christ. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And led in the street called Straight in Damascus, Christ said to Ananias, behold, he prayeth. Oh, the miracle of grace that took this persecutor of the church of God and made him an apostle. He said he wasn't worthy to be called an apostle because he killed the brethren. But he knew mercy. And if you read his epistles, you will find these sacred truths throughout his epistles. This precious blood of Christ, which alone can take away the dye of sin. Why? Because it is here described gold. It is divine. And the scriptures go on to speak of the work of God in the hearts of his dear people as gold. The trial of your faith, says scripture, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto honour and glory and praise at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Christ, the figure is used regarding him in his deity as gold, and that work in the hearts of his dear church, the same figure is you. Oh, search your heart. Is there any of that divine gold there tonight? What has the Lord done for you? What is your hope resting on? The beauty of this blessed truth, then, the King's daughter, beloved of her God in eternity past. Scripture is so clear. Yea, says Scripture, I have loved thee to his church with an everlasting love. And therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jeremiah was spoken of. Christ said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee and ordained thee a prophet. Oh, how we see that our God from all eternity is omniscient. And he knows his sacred purposes and his love to his dear church. Christ said, when here on earth, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He said in his dying prayer, in the 17th of John, I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. Here then is the church for whom he died. And here is the inward preparation. The King's daughter is all glorious within. Her raiment is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the King in raiment of needlework. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £675, and on Friday evening for the Trinitarian Bible Society, £2,087, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, tomorrow evening Mr. Broom will preach and administer the ordinance of believers' baptism to our dear friend Andrew. And God willing, on Tuesday evening Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach, and next Lord's Day Mr. Ince will preach and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. Hymn number 23.
Thank you.
I may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you each. Amen.